Today we're talking about tzitzis, mesh, cotton, wool. It starts off with Gemara in the Sechus Menachos on Daf Lamed Tes Amid Beis. Has machlokas amroim, what is needed to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis on a daraisa level? Is it wool tzitzis or is it anything? That's a major machlokas. Already going back to the amroim, it's a machlokas we showed how to paskin. Rashi and Tosfos seem to paskin anything, while the Rif of the Rabbim seem to paskin wool. And therefore, it's not surprising that the Ramah, following in the opinion of the Ashkenazi Rishonim, paskins that wool would be certainly daraisa, but cotton would be daraisa as well. Other materials would all be daraisa. While the Shulchan Aruch paskins, no, one should really have, wool tzitzis. If one would have cotton tzitzis, it would certainly be a mitzvah, but not a mitzvah daraisa, it would only be a mitzvah midrabbanan. And therefore, already at lehalacha, machlokas, mechaber and the Ramah, as to whether or not wool tzitzis are the only or just an example of tzitzis daraisa. Well, my nafkamina, so there are, I guess, two major nafkamina. You should wear them anyway. They're tzitzis. We Orthodox Jews try our best to fulfill mitzvahs daraisa and the Rabbanan. So in the world of lamzis, there are two major halachic differences, two major nafkaminas. One would be, let's say, if there's some type of suffix somehow. Let's say if the strings are, there's a halacha, the strings have to be tied l'shma. And let's say there's a suffix if they're tied l'shma. So said to Mishnah Berurah, that'd be a great nafkamina. If you're wearing a cotton beged and it's a suffix, if it fits, it's tied l'shma. So Ashkenazim would have to be machmer because it's suffix daraisa l'chumra for them. But Sephardim would say, no, it's fine, it's good enough because it's a suffix darabana l'kula for them. And that'd be one potential suffix and one potential, pardon me, potential nafkamina. And that's a great nafkamina. It's a classic nafkamina. If ever this machlokes is daraisa darabana, the first place you should go to would be suffix. Daraisa l'chumra, suffix darabana l'kula. And perhaps this would be a suffix if the strings were suffix tied l'shma. There's a second potential nafkamina. It's based upon a Gemara Brachos. It's worthwhile to know. The Gemara Brachos has a case of a guy's wearing shatnez. If a guy's wearing shatnez and he's walking around the street in the shuk and he's wearing shatnez, and someone points out to him, hey, you're wearing shatnez. So what's the halacha? Can he wear it home? Or must he take off his clothing and run home in his underwear, or perhaps without even underwear on? It would certainly be a very embarrassing situation. The person would have to run home without any clothing on. That's not how most people feel comfortable walking in the streets. And therefore, could one be maker or not? So the Gemara Masechet Brachos and Daf Kaf or Kafalef, I forgot what it is, it's right in the middle of the third paragraph. The Gemara Masechet Brachos says it depends if it's Daraisa or Rabbanan. If it's Shatnez Daraisa, take it off and run home, we're really sorry. But you can't fulfill a mitzvah, pardon me, you can't violate an Isser Daraisa just because you feel uncomfortable. We don't want to allow for that. However, if it's only Midrabbanan, if let's say we're in Shatnez Midrabbanan, well, at the end of the day, Kavod Habrios beats Midrabbanan. That's a very important thing to know in all sorts of areas. Many posts can talk about if, let's say, you're in the bathroom on Shabbos and there's no tissues, all there is toilet paper. So as long as you can violate Shabbos derabanan and not deraisa, you'd be able to rip the toilet paper because to walk out with an unwiped bottom is a violation of kavod abrios. It's very uncomfortable. It's a violation of kavod abrios. So therefore, we allow ourselves to override Yisrei Derab. How would you rip the toilet paper? Midrabanan, rip with a shinoi, that'd be a great way to do it. And a rip, let's say, instead of, normally you'd rip it, turn your hands backwards, rip with different fingers, or any type of shinoi dika fashion, you can be able to rip toilet paper on shabbos. Again, it's certainly not l'chadchila. One should not walk out wearing shatnez midrabanan into a shuk because, hey, it's derabanan. We don't allow for l'chadchila, but when you're in that situation, when you're stuck, we allow for one to violate Yisrei Derabanan in order to save, the dignity of the human being. A person should not have to walk around with an unwiped bottom. A person should not have to walk around totally undressed. These are issues called kavod abrios. That being the case, so the Mishnah Berurah suggests another nafkamina. Let's say wearing tzitzis, and turns out it's tzitzis rip, and that's all you're wearing. All you have is a big, huge talus that you're wearing. And it's made out of cotton. It's not made out of wool. It's made out of cotton. So the halacha would be, Sephardim would hold its midrabanan and they could wear it home. Well, Ashkenazim would hold its midaraisa and they should not wear it home. It'd be mamash wearing dalit cotton, which would have midaraisa, and you would be not wearing tzitzis. However, those are very uncommon situations. the nafkaminas, although they make sense in their halachic nafkaminas, they're certainly not very practical. They're certainly not very common. They're certainly not, cases that come up often. Therefore, are there any other nafkaminas that, that are more relevant? So again, the Mishnah Berurah mentions a third nafkamina. All three of these nafkaminas, Mishnah Berurah quotes the name of the Prima Gadim. He says, how much should one go out of their way to wear wool over cotton? And the real answer is, really should depend. If you're Sephardic, the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber points out is a mitzvah daraisa. You don't want to have a mitzvah darabanan over a mitzvah daraisa. For Ashkenaz, it would really be far-off. It's all daraisa anyway, but that's a big chumrah. And therefore, really, Sephardim should have wool tzitzis. Well, Ashkenazim, it's better to have wool tzitzis, but it's certainly not mikra din. It's certainly not necessary. For Ashkenazim, should one really have wool tzitzis? How much should one go out of their way to do so? How much should one bend over backwards to do so? For starters, and even for Sephardim, Rav Avadia Yosef points out, I guess we'll do Sephardim first, because it's pretty clear. Rav Avadia Yosef points out, like we just speculated until now, Sephardim should choose a mitzvah daraisa over a mitzvah darabanan. If you have a choice to wear wool tzitzis, which are daraisa, versus katan tzitzis, which are only darabanan. And of course, it's better to do a mitzvah daraisa than a mitzvah darabanan. And that's how Rav Avadia Yosef paskins. However, he says it's going to be the summer, and it's going to be hot, and you're going to come to take your tzitzis off more often because it's uncomfortable, because you're schwitzing, because you don't feel comfortable with such heavy tzitzis on. So better you should do a mitzvah darabanan than no mitzvah. And it boils down to that question: woolen tzitzis versus cotton. Woolen are better. The cotton versus no tzitzis, or not wearing them as often and taking them off all the time. So better a person, even Sephardi people, should wear cotton tzitzis, even though it's only mitzvah darabanan. Better to do a mitzvah darabanan than not do a mitzvah at all. It makes a lot of sense. What about Ashkenazim? So the Mishnah Berurah points out, it's a wonderful thing to do, and Yirei Shamayim really should go out of the way to wear a woolen baguette. It's a fantastic chumrah, it's a good thing to do, and I talk to wear a woolen baguette based upon this Mishnah Berurah, as well as the Pesach by Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein points out the exact same thing as the Mishnah Berurah, and then Rav Moshe Feinstein points out, he goes, not only, I'm not sure what's going on outside. The whole building is shaking. The mosque is still there, so Mashiach's not yet here, but okay, something's going on. Yeah. The Mishnah Berurah says like that, Rav Moshe Feinstein says as well, even though for Ashkenazim, it's all mitzvah daraisa, you can be machmer and cover more opinions. And Rav Moshe even says there's another chumrah out there based upon the Magen Avraham's Yeshomer. The Magen Avraham quotes in Yeshomer, who happens to be the Maharam Rutenberg. I don't think the Magen Avraham tells you who it is, but I think Rav Moshe told me who it was. I wouldn't have known on my own. There's this sheet out there, the Magen Avraham's Yeshomer, which is the Maharam Rutenberg, who believes that the strings and the baggage should be the same material. And we use woolen strings, so therefore, if you wear a woolen baggage, not only do you chap the Rambam and Riff's mitzvah darais versus derabanan, but you chap the Maharami Rutenberg's chumrah as well. And Paskins with Moshe Feinstein, one should wear cotton, pardon me, better to wear woolen clothing than cotton. Certainly, cotton's fine, it's darais, so we don't paskin like the Yeshom and the Magen Avraham. We don't paskin like the Sephardic Rishonim. But nonetheless, says with Moshe, Yirei Shamayim, people should do this type of things. People should really go out of the way to get a woolen baguette. Before I tell you how the Chazanish disagrees, I should point out that they're different. Sometimes when they say Yirei Shemayim do X, Y, and Z, they're two different types of things that they mean. For example, the Shulchan Aruch writes when it comes to Tefillin and Rabbeinu Tam, Yirei Shemayim should wear both Tefillin Shal Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. And really, says the Shulchan Aruch, you should even wear them at the same time. You put one in the front and one in the back, and once in a while you find people doing so. However, the Shulchan then says, but only do it if you're a real Yirei Shemayim. This is not a chumrah you want to play around with. This is a very serious chumrah. It requires this heightened level of religious observance. You should not be doing this if you're not a real Yirei Shemayim. It's almost like a discouraging thing. In other words, this chumrah is only for a select few. It's for Yirei Shemayim. That's why I don't wear two pairs of tefillin or a bimitam. I think the Aruch HaShulchan minimizes it. He says, these days it's okay to wear a bimitam. There are persons who say you don't have to be such a tzaddik to wear a rabbeinu tam. But you should be careful before you put on a rabbeinu tam. It's kind of like a discouraging type of chumrah. They tell the story of Rav Amital, who's the former Rosh Yeshiva of Kush. He once met a person and said to him, you're probably wearing tefillin rabbeinu tam. And the guy's like, yeah, how'd you know that? Rav Amital said, because it says in the Shulchan Aruch, only real Yirei Shemayim, do that. And only people who see themselves as Yirei Shemayim do that. I don't see myself as that, but I knew you would. It's like a shtuff, like a Yerbal guy. That having been said, that's not what we mean over here. The type of Yirei Shemayim we're referring to over here is like his encouragement. Become a Yirei Shemayim. And here's what Yirei Shemayim do. You should see yourself this way. So I guess one should be careful in terms of picking up extra chumras. It's kind of a separate point in terms of, you know, chumras in general, in particular ones that are set aside for Yirei Shemayim. This you get the impression of the Mishnah Berurah and Rav Moshe Feinstein. They're encouraging of it, not discouraging. Yeah, that's their psalm. The Chazanish disagrees. The Chazanish writes, no one would wear a heavy woolen undergarment t-shirt. It's not even a real begging. He might not even be chayav in tzitzis on it. You probably shouldn't make a bracha on a woolen begging. Because no one would wear that. No one wears extra wool. If it's in the middle of the winter, perhaps it makes sense to do it. If it's in the middle of the winter, perhaps one should, you know, then wear a woolen begging. But in the summer, certainly not. And even in the winter, you know, if you wouldn't wear a woolen begging extra like this, no one would wear that. And therefore, says the Chazanish, one should presumably not wear woolen. The standard practice is not to follow the Chazanish. I think most people do wear, you know, people who are aspiring, you know, certain whether they wear woolen or not, they certainly don't discourage it. It's, for the most part, seen as a more positive thing to do. And that takes us to wool. What about other material? So the Gemara, if I'm not mistaken, says leather is putter. From Tzitzis and Rav Moshe Feinstein points out, it's true, leather is, of course, putter from Tzitzis, because instead of sewing it and weaving it, you know, you just kind of rip a whole bag off the animal and put it on yourself. It's more nuanced than that, but essentially that's what you're doing. You're taking the skin off the animal and you're putting it around yourself. So that's not sewing it. You're not making it. It doesn't come with, you know, you don't sew it and develop that type of product. And therefore, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, you're totally putter from all sorts of leather. Not only that, says Rav Moshe, but if you would actually cut it up into thin strips and then sew it together to look, reflect the baguette, everyone knows, says Rav Moshe, you're putter from tzitzis, you would not have tzitzis on anything like that. And Rav Moshe then continues and says, all sorts of material, nylon and rayon and all sorts of other synthetic material, those are totally putter from tzitzis, and there's no shine. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, who I think lived before Rav Moshe Feinstein, disagreed. I don't know, Rav Moshe said no one thought that way. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank and the Har Tzvi, Chelek Aleph, I think it's Simon Tess, disagrees. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank writes that one is putter if they're wearing a baguette shell or if they're wearing like a leather baguette, but that's only the case if they're wearing it as like a coat. If you would take, kind of cut it up into pieces and sew it together, you would be chayav in tzitzis. I don't know if that happens often, I don't know if anyone ever does that, but theoretically, that would be a machlokas of Moshe Feinstein, it's feedback suffering. They both agree, however, that all sorts of non-natural material, synthetic material, would all be part of tzitzis. That has a few nafkaminas. Nafkamina number one, a poncho. A lot of times you have these big, huge yellow ponchos that have four corners, and they taka should be chayav in tzitzis, but they're not because for motion, because it's synthetic material. We don't obligate someone in tzitzis if they're wearing synthetic material. You have some type of, you know, long raincoat or poncho with four corners. I should point out that the four corners have to be in four parts of your body. But very often those big yellow ponchos, they are in four corners of your body. If you're wearing a shirt like what I'm wearing a regular button-down shirt, you know, with the buttons going down the back, there are four corners here. One's at the top right over here of my collar. One's the top left of my collar. One's the bottom right of my collar. Bottom left of my collar. The tack of four corners on the shirt. But I'm not chayav in tzitzis. Most people wear shirts with, you know, unless you're wearing a polo. If they're buttons, they're four corners. We're not chayav in these tzitzis because all four corners are on the same side. Hence, you wouldn't be chayav in a scarf, for that matter. You know, you wouldn't be chayav if you have an Israeli flag hanging off your back. Presumably, that's also four corners, but it's all in the back. And even Rav Nevenzel says, if it's wrapped around your front, if it's wrapped around that mamash, you're wearing it like one on each corner. Rav Nevenzel says, along the chazanish lines of the chazanish, you're not really wearing it. It's not a begging, it's just something that's on you. You're not really wearing it. Rav Nevenzel, I know a couple of years, Shiloh comes up every year on Yom HaTzmut and Yom Yerushalayim. People like to walk around wearing Israeli flags. It's kind of not regular clothing. And the proof is you only wear it once in the year. And you only wear it when you're singing and dancing. And you wear it as type of, not as a clothing, but as some type of ceremonious type of thing. In any event, Rav Nevenzel matters the flag as well. So that's one thing, like a poncho. Another thing comes up is what they call, when I was young, we used to have these pinnies. You know what a pinny is? If, let's say, instead of playing shirts and skins, you know, or dark and light, people would put these pinnies on. And I remember they have all sorts of, they have four corners. So most of those, They don't have four corners.
Uh-huh.
When I was young, they had like a four-cornered penny, and you kind of tied it together. And you say, you know, you're on the non-penny team and the yes-penny team. Then when I was younger, I used to always insist on being the non-penny team because I thought there was a problem with wearing dollar conference without tzitzis. I was just a big Amaretz. I didn't know it was made out of plastic. It has, you know, non-real material, synthetic material. It's made out of fake material. Not fake, but, you know, synthetic material. Nylon or rayon, I was made out of. And it's nylon, not rayon. Rayon's, I know rayon's made out of, but at least nylon. And therefore, it's totally not a problem, and that's okay. What about mesh tzitzis? So there are two major hesitations about mesh tzitzis that the Boston have. Number one, they tell you it's made out of non-cotton, not wool. It's made out of some other material. And if that's the case, it's a problem. However, many people, I think most mesh tzitzis are not made out of nylon or that type of synthetic material. You know, they're made out of real material. You know, again, all these things, rayon, nylon, plastic, and polyester, all these synthetic material, if the mesh is really made out of them, well, that could be a big problem. I guess you have to look into it, but as long as it's made out of cotton or wool or some type of material like rose from the ground, you're totally fine. That's one problem posts can have with mesh tzitzis. There is, however, a second problem posts can have, and that's just poly and metzias. You have to look into it. I don't know, I imagine some big day tzitzis that are made out of mesh are made out of rice, I'm wrong, but that's one check. The second hesitation is what I found out when I asked Rav Schechter. I was at Etzis Y'Kolov two summers ago. It wasn't last summer, it was two summers ago, so I guess you guys would have been post 11th grade. So probably most of you guys were not in Kolov. I know probably post 10th grade, there's a good handful of people who were in Kolov that summer. Maybe even half this year, probably more. Maybe you'll tell me, Don, you're my shir, you'll maybe tell me if it was. One of the guys asked Rav Schechter about mesh tzitzis. I think it was after year 11. We had a bunch of questions answered. I invited Rav Schechter all the time. Partially because I want to sit and learn from him. Partially it's good for the guys. Questions I want to break, I'll be honest with you. But it's always a squish to hear Rav Schechter speak every time. You know, everyone always loved hearing the Rebbe speak. But I particularly like Rav Schechter. He's particularly entertaining and insightful and just fantastic. So one of the guys asked about Rav Schechter, what do you think about wearing mesh tzitzis? So he said, it's not really a baguette. Amud meruba al haparitz. Or parts meruba al amud, I guess. Sorry. In other words, what's parts meruba al amud? So without getting into the details, there's a halach and eruvin that if, let's say, you have a wall, but the parts, the open section, is greater than the closed section. Right? In other words, you have, let's say, a wall, and there's all sorts of gaps. So if let's say you have a big backyard, and let's say there's a door, and there's just an open, you know, there's just a break from one wall to the next wall, and let's say it's 2 feet big, totally fine, because it's not considered a big enough gap. If it's 10 amos, that's already a serious shot. Okay, let's say you have a whole bunch of little gaps, and the gaps are greater than the wall material. That's called parts meruba al amud. And that would mess up a wall. That would, you have to solve that problem. That would not be a good wall for Erevin. You need what's called Amud Rubala parts. You need there to be more closed space than an open space. So Rav Schechter said it's not a baguette. It's full of holes. It's parts Maruba ala Amud. That's what Rav Schechter said. I'm not sure what Rav Schechter meant. I thought one thing, and I was listening to Rabbi Arya Leibowitz's shir on mesh tzitzis actually this morning on my way in. He quoted Rav Schechter and understood him differently. I'm not sure what the truth really is. I emailed Rav Schechter, but I didn't get a chance to respond yet because it's the middle of the night for him. I didn't find out the answer. I'll share with you what he said. You know, Rav Schechter didn't like the tzitzis at all. The way Rabbi Arya Leibowitz understood it is that along the lines of the Chazanish, you wouldn't walk out with a baguette like this. It's full of holes. And parts of Mubal Amun is just like a cute way of saying it. It's practically nothing there. You would never walk out with a shirt like this. However, if you hang out on the beach and you have old shirts and it's the summer, theoretically, or if let's say the shirt's like a basketball jersey. You know, if you wear like a basketball jersey, they'd have small little holes. You with me? So if they're tiny little holes or something like that, you would wear that. It's top and not a problem because that's the way people would go out. It depends upon society. Society changes and people start wearing these open shirts more or less. I think in the 1980s, a lot of men wore those open shirts. These days, you don't find it so much. It's, I guess, fashion has changed. That's what Rabbi Arya Leibowitz said to Rav Schechter. He may be right. I don't know. I emailed him. I understood Rav Schechter a little bit differently, And what I understood Rav Schechter to mean is as follows. There is an opinion of the Maharil. The Maharil writes the following thing. The Maharil I saw quoted in the Be'er Hetiv. The Maharil writes that it's a halacha that, let's say you're looking for a bird's eye view and your sitz is looking down, you'll see an opening of a head and two shoulders. Correct? The shoulders will be on the side, the opening of the head will be in the middle. Says the Maharil, if you have very skinny shoulders and a very big head opening space, a skinny shoulder place and a big head opening place, you have a serious problem over here because you're into a problem of Paritz Meruba Ala Amud. That's what he writes. Now, there are some posts who say the whole thing is not necessary. The Sha'arei Tshuva, right there in the Shulchan Aruch, writes, quote the name of the Yavetz, of Yaakov Emden, this whole thing is not necessary. It's a halach and Erevin. We're not machmer for the Maharil, and therefore you can have as skinny as shoulders as you want. However, other posts can accept the Maharil, and they debate what he means. The Mishnah Brura explains that you don't literally have to measure the shoulder and the headpiece and the opening for the head and figure out which is greater. You have to figure out how many inches it is, and is one shoulder bigger than the head? Says the Mishnah Brura, that's not what he means. What the Maharil means is just like it's a cohort. He doesn't really mean it has to be, you know, mamish. You know, the measurements have to work out. The truth is, both shoulders can be smaller than the headpiece. That's fine. But just make sure the shoulders are moderately thick. It shouldn't just be there's a string and a baguette. Like, you shouldn't wear two strings over your shoulders and have, like, a baguette hanging off it. You know, one in the front, one in the back. That's, like, not really a baguette. In other words, it's a code word. It doesn't literally mean work out the measurements like you would have to by ear. That's what the Mishnah Brura understands. While the Chaz Nish disagrees and says, no, the Maharil means what? You have to do the measurements. Take out a yardstick or a meter stick or a amos and tefachim stick and figure out, are the shoulder lengths bigger than the head place or not? And they sell Chaz Nish tzitzis, I'm actually wearing a pair, where they tell you that the shoulder lengths are so thick, the sides over here are so thick. You can see my shoulder length is pretty thick. It's bigger than the headspace because they want to make it Amud Meruba Ala Paritz. That's the begging I have. I'm not always machin for the Chaz Nish, but it happened to be convenient. That was the begging that was there, so I just kind of picked it up. I thought that's what Rav Schechter meant as well. Meaning, if you have 51% holes, it'd be a problem. If you have 49% holes, it would be okay. I guess if he had 50% holes, it may depend upon Ashkenazim, it's smart, it depends on Raisa, but I don't know. In any event, that's what I thought of Schechter meant. I thought it meant, he said, the whole thing is holes. You need 51% to be material in that hole. I don't know, I even remember Schechter, I just assumed that's what he meant. I didn't even think of the second possibility. In any event, I emailed him, I guess we'll find out the answer soon, but the mesh sits, the nafkamina between these two opinions of Schechter. The two possibilities where Rav Schechter meant would be if it's 51% but not worn, or if it's 48% then worn often, I guess those would be potential nafkaminas. I wasn't sure what he meant. I even think the machlokas between me and I guess Rabbi Leibowitz is probably the same as the Chaz Nish and the Mishnah Brura, and I'm just saying the Maharil. Did he mean it literally, or was it just like a cute way of saying, you know, have a chosh of a day? In any event, that takes us through wool tzitzis, a synthetic material tzitzis, it takes us through mesh. Tzitzis. L'halach, I strongly discourage people from wearing tzitzis, from never tell us, from wearing mesh. From wearing mesh tzitzis. I probably would not make a bracha on them. Rav Nevitzel doesn't like them. Rav Nevitzel discourages them as well. I suppose Rav Eliyasha didn't like them either. Some of there are poskim out there who allow for it, otherwise they wouldn't be as popular as they are. I don't know who the poskim are, but they probably are poskim who subscribe to that, and that basically takes us through our material of tzitzis topic. Yeah?
Two questions. Number one, what's the machlokas between shayin and rabbanan? It's not